You know, the song pretty much says it all there. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I was telling someone the other day, you know, they were kind of going over some of the things that they wanted to do to celebrate 10 years. And I said, you know, I'm a little embarrassed by it all. I said, 10 years just doesn't seem long enough to celebrate something, you know, stay at it a while, but maybe 40, 50 years. But, you know, I look back over these 10 years and I see where I was then. And I'll go back through and read some of my journals and entries that I made. And I tell you what, you read it and I read it and I'm amazed by it. I'm amazed at the things that I thought were so big and now how small they look. I'm amazed by all the obstacles that I was facing and how the Lord supernaturally changed situations. I'm amazed that there were people who stood with me at a time when it wasn't popular to be with me. I'm amazed by the fact that people came to the church when it wasn't popular to say you went to the church because of all the chaos that had happened and a young preacher fresh out of Bible school taking over a church that big. And I'm amazed by how the Lord has built this building and how we've gone to multiple services and how people come out when it's pouring down rain. And I'm amazed by the fact that we have to talk about what about a fourth service or an extension of this building or a new campus or whatever it may be. I'm amazed by it all. I'm amazed by it. And so I thank you all for celebrating 10 years. It's been the best 10 years I could ever possibly imagine. And I know the next 10 and the next 10 and the next 10 after those 10s will be even better because we're trying to be diligent in learning the things that the Lord shows us each day to be doers of them. But friends, I just want to say it's an honor to do it. It's an honor to spend life with you all and to share life with you all. And we wouldn't be where we are today without all the years that so many people have invested, from volunteers to staff to people who used to go to the church who no longer go for whatever reason. You know, all of those hands have made this what it is. And it's just a blessing. And I was telling second service, I get the sense that really as a church, we are knocking on the door to being just a really great church. And I want to emphasize that. I'm not trying to build Joel Sims Ministries. That's not my goal. That's not my intention. My goal is to build Word of Life Church. And I really sense it in my heart that we're right there knocking on the door. And it's about to open up. And our effect on this community and our effect on the world is going to be so much greater than it's ever been before. And so I want to thank you for coming to church here. It's an honor to do what we do. They do want me to say there are cupcakes out there. Apparently they have a lot of them. So please eat them, eat several, and celebrate the occasion with us. And we're just delighted to have you here. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Start off our service right. Father, we come before you today. And Lord, we are amazed by you. I am amazed at what you have done in this place. I am amazed at the quality of life you've blessed this church with. You've been so good, Father. You've been so faithful. Therefore, we will be so grateful because of what you've done. Let our life please you. Let us serve you. And Father, I ask of you to think through my mind today, speak through my lips, for the embetterment of these people. Let me serve you at the highest measure of my ability. You said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, the mouthpiece of God. I thank you, Father, that you enable me to do that during this service so that while I speak, these people don't just hear my voice, but they hear your voice in their hearts. We love you, Lord. Bless each gift, bless each giver, bless our tithes and offerings today. And we'll be careful and we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory. For you and you alone are worthy, and you alone deserve all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to two or three people. Tell them how excited you are to see them here at Word of Life Church this morning. Amen. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, feel free to lift up your hand and our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. You're under no obligation to take one, but you are at church and our goal is to teach you the Bible. And so it does help sometimes if we have one. And of course, you can feel free to use a Bible app. I found myself using my Bible app a lot more. I used to not be a fan of it, but now I found, hey, I don't have to have a little light when my wife goes to sleep. It just lights up by itself. So I'm finding that being to be more and more convenient. But either way, please open those up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 14, 15, and 16. These verses are ones that should be prevalent in our hearts. What we're talking about is how to be led by the Spirit of God. And oh, friend, I'm telling you, this is so exciting to me. I've got some things on my heart. I don't think we'll be able to get into them until next Sunday. So you don't want to miss next Sunday. But we've got to say some of these things this Sunday to get ready for next Sunday. But I am just excited about this because I really do feel in my heart that if you grab a hold of these things, they truly can be life-changing. I was telling Brother David back in the back in between services, I was talking to someone last week who just has never heard any of these things before. Gone to church his entire life, but never really heard that I can be led by God. I can hear from God. This is not just reserved for preachers or priests or monks that I can hear from God. So I hope that the same light bulb is clicking on in your heart that you can hear from God. You can know God's plan. You can know it. And you don't have to wait for someone else to tell it to you. God can tell it to you. He can lead and guide you into all truth. And that is the Holy Spirit's job description for the believer, is to be their leader, their teacher, and their guide. And so what we want to do in this is to teach you how to hear from the Lord. And we said last week that in order for you to know these things and to walk in these things to their highest potential, you need to understand and know three R's. We said the first R you need to know is respect. You must respect the fact that God has a plan. That's the first R, first word, the word respect. The second one is recognize. A lot of people think that God never talks to them, but the truth is he's talking to them all the time. They're just not recognizing it. They don't know his voice like they should. And the third R is respond, and that's the one I'm fired up about because I'm seeing some things that I haven't seen in quite some time. It just new light on this. But anyway, we talked about the first R last Sunday. That you and I, we must respect the fact that God has a plan. And it's my job as a believer to find out that plan and to walk it out in my life. If I'm ever going to get anywhere with God on this subject, I must take the time to realize life really is not just up to me. I don't get to pick and choose where I want to live, what I want to do, how I treat people, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, what job I work, any of those. That's not up to me. I have a Lord, and He instructs me from His Word and from His witness on how to live my life, on how to conduct my life. And He's the deciding factor with all of these decisions. And so we said last week that if we're respecting the fact that God has a plan, respecting the fact that God wants to lead and guide us into all truth, then we're going to be doing something all the time. And what we're going to be doing all the time, what you're going to be doing all the time, what I'm going to be doing all the time, is we are constantly going to be looking to the inside, looking to our hearts. Romans chapter 8, and let's look here in verse 14. If you don't have this scripture highlighted, it's a good one to highlight. I've got it highlighted and put in a box with a blue pen. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. If you've not received, verse 15, the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the spirit himself bears witness with our what? Spirit, that we are the children of God. Verse 14, let's read that again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice, if you're a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, you should be led by the Spirit of God. You should be led, not someone else leading you and saying it's the Spirit of God, although that can happen. But even if that does happen, it should bear witness with your spirit, because God wants to lead and guide you. If you are a child of God, you should be led by the Spirit of God. Well, how is he leading us? Verse 16 says that his spirit, that being the Holy Spirit, bears what? Witness with what? Our spirit. So when I'm looking to be led by God, I'm not going to be looking to my flesh. I'm not going to be looking to my mind. I'm going to be looking at my heart. His spirit bears witness with my spirit. Remember, we talked about how the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We mentioned the scripture that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our, what? With all of our heart, and lean not to our own understanding. So when we're getting ready to sign that contract, where are we looking? We're looking on the inside. We're looking to our heart. Before we proceed any further in that relationship, where are we looking? We're looking at our heart. Remember what we said last week? Crazy can make pretty ugly fast. I mean, real fast. And you want to be led on who you get in a relationship with. You want to be led on something like that. Well, how do I know what God wants me to do? He's communicating his plan spirit to spirit. Not spirit to flesh, not spirit to mind, spirit to spirit. His spirit, the Holy Spirit, is bearing witness with my spirit. So when I'm getting ready to buy that car, where am I looking? I'm looking to the inside. When I'm getting ready to hire that employee, I'm looking to the inside. When I'm getting ready to take that job, I'm looking to the inside. When I'm getting ready to buy that house, where am I looking? I'm looking to the inside. In between services, I was listening to another preacher named Pastor Robert Morris. He pastors a church called Gateway Church out in Texas. And he was given this story about how he was getting ready years ago to buy a house. And he walked in the house, and it was priced just right. And he walks in, and it's got everything in the world that he wanted. I mean, it's got the master bedroom away from the kids' bedrooms, and each kid would have their own room. They had a pool out in the backyard, and the house was decorated the way that his wife would decorate it. It had just been freshly painted. This house was the perfect house for him. And he said he never really prayed about it. He, instead of asking the Lord, if this is your will, he kind of just said, Lord, let this be your will. And there's a big difference between the two. I mean, you know, that's the truth. There's a big difference between saying, God, you want me to do this, and God, please let me do this. It's a big difference. And so they got all the way to the point of signing contracts. And he was in a particular state, another state, preaching. And his real estate person called him up and said, hey, it's time to sign contracts. And so he, you know, that type of thing, was saying, okay. And I think either the real estate person was calling him or his wife. But anyway, it was at that time. And there was a big storm that was coming through that evolved into a hurricane. And this hurricane was coming through, and his wife turned on the news. Now, they had just gotten off the phone with the real estate person saying, come sign the contracts. And all the while on the inside, they know this is probably, you know, not what we need to do. But their flesh is so excited about it. We may talk about that today. And she's watching the news. His wife is watching the news. And they're showing the destruction coming through from this hurricane. And they see the house that they are going to go sign contracts on the news. And it is being blown apart by this hurricane. They come to find out it gotten filled with 4 feet of water, all of these other types of things. And so anyway, of course, they backed out of the deal. But my point is, investment advice. I can also tell you from that while I can't count those people, I can give you a pretty good average about how many of those investments turned out to be worth anything. And the answer is none. I can't remember any time where someone came up and said, you should put your money in this. It'd be a great idea where it ever worked out well. And thankfully, I didn't get involved in a lot of those things. But here's my point. Why would people get so excited about something that ultimately is not good for them? Because our flesh can be deceived. It can be deceived about people. It can be deceived about investments. It can be deceived by job opportunities. Our flesh and our mind can be deceived. But there's one thing that can't ever be. That's your heart. And so when we're getting ready to make all of these decisions, we're looking to the inside. What I want you to do from here on until eternity is every time you think about it, look to your heart. When you're on the phone with that relative, look to your heart on what to say. When you're standing in front giving that speech to your team, look to your heart on what to say. Look to your heart. Train yourself to look to your heart. Respect the fact that God wants to lead and guide you. But here's the deal. What am I looking for? All right, I'm going to look to my heart. What am I looking for? And this is where we get into that second R. It's not just enough to respect the fact that God has a plan, so I'm going to look to my heart. I also must recognize what I'm looking for. Go over to the book of Acts. Let me take you to Acts chapter 10 on the screens. If you can go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 28. In your Bibles, Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. On the screens, Acts chapter 8 and verse 28. Acts 10 and 19 on the screens. In our Bibles, Acts 8 and verse 28 on the screens. Notice in Acts chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and as I was returning, sitting in his chariot, this is talking about Philip, read Isaiah the prophet. Notice the next scripture, verse 29. Then the Spirit did what? Wait a minute, he did what? God can talk. He can actually talk and people can actually hear. Apparently so. Notice the Spirit sat unto Philip and gave him specific direction. Specific. Go near and join thyself to that chariot. And this is where he won the guy to the Lord who's sitting by the wayside. Wonderful, wonderful story. How did it all start? The Spirit said, and Philip heard. The Spirit said, and Philip heard. Now look here in Acts chapter 10, in verse 19. It said, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit did what? Said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. The Spirit said unto them. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, you'll see the same phrase. The Spirit said unto them, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. That's Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. So these are scriptures. The reason why I picked them is simply because they're close together. The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks, and people can hear it clear enough to even write it down. I also pick these scriptures because in each one of these instances, it's not the same person hearing the Holy Spirit. So people can't say, well, yeah, that was Philip, or yeah, that was so-and-so. No, we see three different times where three different people all heard from the Lord. Hearing from the Lord in the Bible is the rule, not the exception. I want to just build this into you. Everyone heard from the Lord. You can hear from the Lord too. And it won't make you weird. I'm not talking about hearing voices. The Holy Spirit is not weird. people are weird, but the Holy Spirit is not weird. And if you didn't laugh when I said that, that might be a good clue. You're a little weird. So with that, the Holy Spirit does not make people weird. He's incredibly supernatural, but he is not weird or spooky or like Casper sitting on someone's shoulder. He is an entity of God that enables, that God has sent him into the world to enable us to know the plan of God for us. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter, and he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. All of these people heard from God. You can too. I would say chances are many of you hear from God all the time. The problem is you don't recognize it. People are looking for the wrong thing. Remember, it goes back to point number one. Where are we supposed to be looking? Inside. I'm not trying to hear voices out here. I'm not trying to see, like we said last week, seven red cars pass by my house in consecutive order. I'm not trying to base all of these things on whether or not God's speaking to me out here. I'm supposed to be looking in here. What am I looking for? Not only does the Bible and the book of Acts tell us that the Holy Ghost can speak, but it also shows us how he does. They're all in the book of Acts here, so you won't have to turn very far. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. On the screens, if you can pull up, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 on the screens. We're going to Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Remember 2 weeks ago, we said that when the Holy Ghost is bearing witness with our spirit, typically he's doing one of two things. Now, I want to go over that again because chances are a lot of people forgot what I said 2 weeks ago. And if you didn't forget, it'll be good for you to hear again. Remember, he says, we said this 2 weeks ago, that when the Holy Spirit leads us, it's probably either one of two things going on in our heart. That's where we're looking. The first thing is a check. And we said a check is like a weight in your heart. I mean, just like a weight kind of pulling you down. A check is when, I love this, Donald G. put it this way, it's so simple. It's when your heart is disagreeing with the course of action. Your life is going down this way, and in your heart, there's a disagreement there. I don't need to be doing that. I don't need to be around that person. I don't need to go in that path. I don't need to invest my money in that. That is God speaking to you. It's not necessarily a voice. I think a lot of people get tripped up over that word. It's a witness. It's in your heart, there's a disagreement. The Bible calls it this, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were what? Pricked. I like that. Pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were talking about, okay, we know we need to return from our wicked ways and leave that and accept Christ. What do we need to do now? How did they get to that place? There was a prick in their heart. Remember when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus? He said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the what? The pricks. And that word also means goads. And basically, they would have, back then, livestock that they would put, like we would today, in a barbed wire fence. And you know, I heard a preacher say, I preached like a fat man caught in a barbed wire fence. A point here, a point there. Anyway, so what does a barbed wire fence do? It's going to prick you. It's going to point you. And you may try to get outside of that barbed wire fence, but when you bump up against it, what's going to happen? It's going to prick you. It's going to try to stop you from making progress. They were pricked in their hearts. Saul, Saul, it's hard for you, man, to kick against the pricks. What is that? It's a check. It's a check. When a check comes, it's the Lord saying, stop trying to go that way. The way that you're going, if you keep going that way, it's going to lead to some bad stuff. Stop. It's a prick on the inside. Don't look for a voice. Look for a prick on the inside, a check on the inside. Look here in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout that place and we're in the region of Galatia, and we're, notice this, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they essayed unto go into Bithynia, but notice, the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit suffered them not. They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't mean they were walking and God sent lightning that hit a tree limb and it blocked their progress. No. It means they were going in a specific direction to go preach the gospel over here, but the Holy Spirit on the inside forbade them. There was something on the inside where the Lord wasn't going in that direction. He was suffering them not to just stop. Don't go that way. Well, why would he do that? Anytime you get a check, it's because your life is about to go off track. And when your life gets off track, that's when bad stuff happens in spades. You don't want to go in that direction. I'll give you an instance of this. We had a guest speaker in Wednesday night, Pastor Kevin Cooley. He pastors a church in Mobile, Alabama. But he also has a mission work that he started years ago in India. And I'm actually going there in a couple of weeks to go do a conference for him. Excited about that. But anyway, he's got a mission work there. And so out of that mission work, he's done a Bible school. And out of that Bible school, that means every year you have a graduating class, just like you would out of a high school or a college. Bible schools have graduating classes too. And so he splits his time in between these two works, between pastoring in Mobile and doing the work there in India. And he's got guys in India who handle the day-to-day operations of things. But a couple of years ago, in 2008, he was getting ready to fly from Mobile to go to India to hold the graduation. They had rented out some hotel space and all of those types of things. And, you know, just like any graduation, it's not just a graduating class there, but there's people coming in to celebrate that graduation with the people who are graduating. Let's see how many times we can use that word. So at that graduation where people were graduating, the graduates also invited other people to come and watch them graduate. So they're all here there, and you can imagine how that works. People had already booked hotel reservations and all of those things to go to the graduation. And Pastor Kevin, he's getting ready to go, and it's about a week outside of it. And as he's sitting there one day, his wife comes up to him. Now, I'm trying to teach you how to be led by your Spirit. His wife comes up to him and says, "Are you excited about the trip? You know, man, you're going to India. You know, your heart beats for India. Are you excited about the trip?" And he said, "You know what, honey? I'm just not excited about it." And she said, "Well, you better get excited about it, because we spent $2,000 on tickets for you to be excited about it, so you need to get excited about it." But he said, "Yeah, you're right. You know, I know I need to get excited about it." He said, "I don't know what it is." See, a lot of times people are led by the Spirit, but they're unconsciously led. They think it's just them. But friend, I'm telling you, you can get proficient in this, where you can distinguish between the soul and the Spirit and know that that's not just you. If there's something on the inside there, that is just as much God as if an angel appeared to you. Now, one is more spectacular than the other, but they're both incredibly supernatural. And so with that, he said, "You know, I don't know, I'm just not excited about it." Well, anyway, a couple of days went by. And the more he prayed about it and got in prayer, the more he knew in his heart, "I don't know, but for whatever reason, I'm not supposed to go." Now, his flesh was very tense about that and stressed about it, because this is not just affecting him. All of those graduates and all of those families have made plans to come to that event. And so when he calls a couple of days out and says it's canceled, it's going to mess up their schedule significantly. But he can't get it out of his heart. "I'm not supposed to go. I'm not supposed to be there." Well, anyway, he calls them up and tells them, "Hey, I can't come. I don't know, but, you know, like Paul here, forbidden of the Holy Ghost, just something on the inside is not tolerating this trip. And when I think about it, it's like a prick, a goad on the inside. I need to back off." And he called and canceled. Well, he called up Delta and got a refund for it. And anyway, to make a long story a little bit longer, when he was going to go there on those specific days, He was watching the news at a time when he would have been in this hotel, how terrorists had come down from Pakistan to Mumbai, India, where he was going, to the hotel he was going to be staying, and set off car bombs, carried in AK-47s, and were killing every American they saw. Now think about that. It was just something on the inside saying, you know what, I'm just not excited about this. It's like Brother Hagin said, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. Something's not right. Something's not right with this. And when you get that, friend, it's God trying to keep you safe. And the reason why a lot of mess happens to people is because they got something like that, but they chose to do the opposite of what he did. They override it. I remember a number of years ago, I was listening to a speaker, and he worked for a call-in center where you can call in and get counseling, that type of thing, prayer center, that kind of thing. And a lady called in, and he was the operator, and he picked it up. And she said, I need prayer. I've just been mugged. That's not fun, being mugged. She said, I've just been mugged. So he said, oh, ma'am, you know, have you called the police? All those types of things. She said, yeah, I've done all that. I'm home now and I'm safe, that kind of thing. But she said, I wanted to know why the Lord let that happen to me. That's a good question. Why did the Lord let that happen? Isn't he a good father? Isn't he a good... Why would he let that happen? See, a lot of people have questions like this. She said, before I went, I pled Psalms 91. She said, I pled, I spoke out Psalms 91 over me. No harm shall come. And anyway, he asked her, why did you quote that? You know, I don't know about you, but I quote the 91st Psalms and that kind of deal. But it's not just every day I go to the gas station and say, hey, you know what? I need to quote Psalms 91. He said, why did you quote that? She said, well, you know, I was getting ready to go. And just the whole time I was getting ready, something told me there'd be danger there. And so she said, I was just quoting the 91st Psalm. Friend, I'm telling you, God didn't let that happen. He was trying to keep that from happening. And the way he keeps that from happening is by checking us on the inside. It was not God's will for Paul to go a good portion of his life outside of the will of God. Paul was getting pricks all the time, but he wouldn't respond to it. He wouldn't respond to it. Friend, if you get a check, it's God trying to keep you safe. But there are not just checks, there are also leadings. Well, have you ever heard someone say, well, the Lord told me to do this? And people get the impression that with that, well, they must have heard a voice. Not always. 9 times out of 10, like I said, it won't be a voice, or even on the inside, it won't be words. It'll just be what we're about to show you now, and we'll close with this. Go over, you're in Acts. Go over to Acts chapter 15 and verse 25. Acts chapter 15, one chapter over. Acts chapter 15, and let's actually start in verse 23. And on the screens, if you can go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 6 in the Amplified. Romans 7 and verse 6 in the Amplified. We are going to the book of Acts chapter 15 in our Bibles. Let's start in verse 23 and notice what they say here. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. This is talking about the apostles. The apostles and the elders and the brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and that other place. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So here they had basically sent missionaries to a particular part of the nation and established the gospel there. But then out of them, there were other people who came and started preaching things that were false doctrine. So you had a whole bunch of people confused by it. So the apostles know we need to send some people down there to clear this mess up. And watch what they say here in verse 25. Oh, I love this. It seemed good unto us. Underline that. Highlight it. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Now watch this in verse 28. For it seemed good to the what? The Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Why are they sending these men? You know what? It just seems good. It seems good to us and the Holy Ghost to send these particular guys. What is this? It's a leading. Whereas a prick is a disagreement, a leading is an agreement with your course of action. Your life is heading down a particular road and there's an agreement with that. I'm supposed to keep going this way. Or you start thinking about this particular individual and the thought comes up in your mind, I should call them. And on the inside, there's an agreement there. Yeah, you should call them, but your flesh is saying they talk on the phone all the time. But your heart, no. Which one are you going to obey? Anyway, that's a small example, but friend, it's the truth. We get this type of stuff all the time. What is that? That's God leading you. That's God guiding you. Why would He do that? Whereas a check is designed to keep you safe, a leading is designed to take you to God's best. And a lot of times you may think you know the way to God's best, but we don't know like He does. Notice this in Romans 7 and verse 6 in the Amplified. I love this. It said, but now we are discharged from the law and have terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what was once restrained and held us captive. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulations, but under obedience to the what? Promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. Well, who has this newness of life? You do if you're born again. If you're not born again, you need to get born again. But if you have this newness of life, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means, according to this, at some point in your life, you've got some promptings. You've gotten some promptings that God designed for you to obey. And when you get those promptings, you're to walk that out. And when you do, like I said, it's designed by Him to take you into His best. What do you have on your heart to do? What's in your heart to do this morning? You know, we celebrated 10 years of ministry today. As far as me, the church has been for 30 years here in the community. I've been pastoring it for around 10. But my father and mother started it long time ago, around 1980, and he started it in his mother's basement. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. With three people and preached to them, and the next Sunday he had zero people. That's always encouraging. But he knew in his heart that he was called to start a work here. And he's just driving. This is how the Lord leads. Just driving down the road one day. And he sees this building. And when he sees this particular building, it was a church, his heart leapt. You ever read that when Mary met up with her sister and their heart, their wounds leapt? Well, his heart just leapt. What is that? It's an agreement. It's a prompting. And he saw this building. He just had a prompting. I'm supposed to rent out that building. I don't know what it is, but I'm supposed to rent out that building and start my church there. Not just anywhere, but there. Well, he goes in and contacts the pastor and asks him, you know, hey, could I do something at an earlier time or on a Saturday and just rent out the building? And sure enough, the pastor said he would let him rent it. Well, when he told him the price as far as how much it would cost to rent it, he only had enough to rent it for 1 month. If he paid that price, it would wipe him out completely financially. But he knew in his heart, just a prompting, man, it just seems good. Not a voice, not an angel saying, thus saith the Lord. Not, just on the inside. I'm supposed to rent that building. Prompting. So he paid the price and he acted on it. This is what separates the men from the boys and the ladies from the girls. This is where so many people just sit back in the boat and never get out. Just they never get out of the boat. God calls them, He tells them to come, but they just never step out for whatever reason. They wonder why life's so boring. Amen. So, but he got that step out of the boat. Give it all. Invest it all. 1 month. Hit or miss. Oh, but with God, there's no misses. He paid that price, and within 1 month, he had 200 people. put up a sign that said preaching faith and healing, and a businessman drove by it and he got a prompting on his heart. I need to contact that pastor and put him on the radio. Never met him before, but just had a prompting. Man by the name of Scott Dorman. Wonderful man. Had a leading to do it. And so he contacted him, arranged it, all of that. Oh, friend, I'm telling you. He got on the radio for 5 minutes a day saying, "Good morning, Mississippi," and gave him a little devotional before they went off to work. 200 people in a month. The church never stopped growing until I became pastor. And it, and then I learned how he learned how to be led by the Spirit of God. And here we are today. But friends, my point is this. Recognize that check, that's God. That prick, that's God. It means he's disagreeing with the way I'm going. And if I keep going that way, it's going to lead to something being unsafe. I need to back off. But then there'll be other times where there's a prompting. Oh, it just seems good. Oh, it just seems good to go in this direction, to go this way. Oh, when you get that friend, step out of the boat. Walk in that leading of the Lord and watch God split some seas for you, and you walk across on dry ground seeing the miraculous all around you. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We love you so much. We thank you, Lord, that we are learning to be led by your Spirit in all things. And Father, we thank you that each and every one of us will be sensitive to our hearts. When you check us, we'll back off. When you lead us, we